You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
A new term for Tāmaki Makaurau's City Council is rolling out amidst sizeable public transport changes for the city, namely the restructuring of responsibility that transfers primary policy and planning powers to Council and leaves transport delivery responsibilities to Auckland Transport. It has also been announced that 4,162 of the approximately 10,000 special votes in the recent Auckland election were deemed invalid due to outdated enrolment details or missing and incorrect declarations on voting forms. I spoke to Councillor Julie Ferry about her thoughts on the future of Auckland transport systems and policy in the coming years and her concerns around disenfranchisement of local democracy in light of the large number of discounted votes. Kia ora, Julie. What are your thoughts on navigating Auckland's public transport policy through this new term?
So the big challenge we have this term is that there's legislative change coming. That means that the role of Auckland Transport is going to change significantly, and they're going to become primarily about delivering public transport, not necessarily making the planning decisions and the strategic decisions for public transport. So over the next year, we'll see that sort of play out of what exactly the law will look like and then what exactly the transition will look like, where decisions will fall within the council structure, that kind of stuff. So it's a little unclear right now. Not so much the direction, because I think there is broad agreement that our public transport system could get better, but more how fast that might go, where the decisions might fall, how the organisation, the main council organisation, is going to be set up to really take advantage of that. There's a really good article by Connor Sharp, who ran on the City Vision ticket for the Waitematā local board. Unfortunately, he wasn't elected, but that does mean that he will be writing probably more for Greater Auckland. There's a really good article from him up this morning, which looks at some of the challenges with the new structure and the possibilities for public transport. So I recommend people have a look at that. But yeah, it's going to be interesting, because will some local boards be able to say, hey, we want more bus routes here, or we want more frequency, and that will be followed through? Or will those decisions sit regionally, because it's a regional network, and then how will those things be prioritised by a governing body, a group of councillors and the mayor who are looking regionally? And then Auckland Transport, the new Auckland Transport, which will just be this public transport delivery, how will they actually make that happen? And what will their timeframes be? What will their level of investment be? So it's a really interesting time to see how that's going to shape up over the next year, and then how that is put into action after that.
And talking about this time of new challenges and possibilities regarding transport, do you feel that Council's relationship with central government might also be due some review or adjustments in the new term regarding their influence on the wider direction for envisioning transport in Tāmaki Makaurau?
Yeah, so this is going to be what is worked out through the next 6 months through the legislative part of this process of transition. So there's going to be a select committee process where anyone can make a submission, but in particular council will, around how they change the law to change the structure. And one of the key things is going to be how the what's going to be called the Auckland Regional Transport Committee is structured. At the moment, there's a possibility that central government will have more power than council to make the big decisions about investment for Auckland's transport future. And that really worries me, how the numbers fall out on that transport committee, whether there'll be more appointees from central government who can then potentially overrule the wishes of Aucklanders. So that's a worry, and you know, obviously there'll be a lot of work to come on that during that legislative process, hopefully to change that, and we'll just have to see how it plays out. But the relationship with central government is interesting, because what keeps happening is that we'll build a relationship with government, they'll agree some big projects. This government, it's roads, previous governments and hopefully future governments, it's public transport, and then the government will change and those projects will generally be shelved or cancelled, and then you get, you know, this flip And what we really need to build is a relationship where we have a long-term pipeline that's agreed and isn't subject to these changes every time central government changes, particularly for public transport, because these are often real long-term projects that take many years in the planning and then in the building. And so if you have political change at the central level when you're partway through that process, which means that things get shelved or cancelled, then, you know, the cost goes up, we've wasted a lot of money and resources, and we don't make the progress we need as a city. So getting to something where we can get some, I guess, bipartisan commitment to not cancelling each other's projects, it would be really helpful, I think, for Auckland as a city.
Looking back on the Tāmaki election, there were numbers that came out around more than 10,000 special votes were received, but 4,162 of those were deemed invalid in the counting process. With those who expressed their willingness towards that civic engagement and took action to cast those special votes, but then had those thrown out, unfortunately, what risk do you think that this outcome and this number has on future engagement with local democracy?
Yeah, I'm really worried about it. And I think there seems to be widespread agreement now that we probably need the Electoral Commission to just take over local elections. What we're hearing about those special votes, and it's amazing that so many people made the effort, that was a significant increase from the past. And I know in the campaigning that my City Vision team was doing, we were really encouraging people to cast special votes and helping them to do so. What we're hearing is that probably some of the a reasonably large portion of those ones that were found to be invalid, it's because the staff who were helping people to cast the special votes didn't necessarily have enough training or experience to make sure people filled out the forms correctly. And of course the people making the special vote didn't necessarily know what they were doing either, because in many cases, you know, you're making a special vote because, you know, you've changed address or whatever, you haven't necessarily, you know, cast special votes before. So there was sort of this misfilling out of forms as a result of inexperience and under-resourcing at both ends, the person making the vote and the person helping them to do the vote. So it seems to me if the Electoral Commission, who are absolute experts at making sure all of this these things go correctly, if they are able to deliver our elections right across the country in the future, I think we'd get a much higher proportion of special votes accepted. It must be gutting to... Well, the problem is you don't know, right? You don't know. I made a, say you're making a special vote and you assume it's been counted. No one comes back to you to go, hey, we didn't count yours. This is how you do it better next time. So you don't even know. So it may be that a lot of people who made special votes are just assuming theirs wasn't counted, and that will be really disempowering, literally disenfranchising, and will probably mean that some people don't bother next time. Particularly, you know, we've got a number of really close races in the local boards. In my local board area, there's a 7-vote margin. At the moment, there's 9-vote margin in a neighbouring local board area, and special votes could have made the difference for those, and you know, there may be recounts coming. But, you know, one of the messages we say to people is every vote counts. Well, actually, if you made a special vote, you don't know if your vote counted, and that's awful. You know, we're trying to encourage more people to vote. That includes special votes. So, yeah, we absolutely have to get better at that, and I think bringing the Election Commission is the best way to do that.
And is there anything else you would like to share with us today, Councillor Ferry?
I guess just being excited that we're at the start of a new term. I'm very grateful to have been re-elected as a councillor for my area. Last time I wasn't elected on election day, I got a lot more votes when the later votes came in and the specials and stuff, and was safely in. But this time being on election day was amazing. So thank you to everybody who helped to make that happen, people who voted as well as the people who supported my campaign. I wasn't able to be out there because I broke my leg and have been very sick from a complication. So, yeah, feeling very humbled and grateful to be back around the table this time and looking forward to seeing what we can do as a team for Auckland.
That was re-elected Councillor Julie Ferry on legislative changes to transport in the coming term and the disappointing disenfranchisement that may result from the discounting of nearly half of Auckland's special votes in the local election results.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.